Welcome to Whiskey Cast, the Cask Strength podcast featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 105 for August 19th, 2007. Coming up in a few minutes.
What we have are more distinctive, superior quality and delicious whiskey, so we believe they're even better than before.
That's Rachel Berry of Glenmorangie, and the rumors I hinted about last week of big changes at Glenmorangie have proven to be true. We'll get the details from Rachel in a few minutes. First, though, let's look at the other news of the week. Back in episode 102, 3 weeks ago, I had some hints about a new range of special whiskeys from Heaven Hill, honoring master distiller Parker Beam. Now the details are out, and the first release in Parker's Heritage Collection will be out this fall. It's a barrel-strength bourbon distilled in 1996, and all 68 barrels were aged on the same floor of Rickhouse Y at Heaven Hill's facility in Bardstown. Here's the fun part. The barrels were dumped in three batches, and since they were all bottled at barrel strength, each batch was bottled at a different proof, ranging from 122.6 to 130.9. Divide that by two to get the alcohol level. Heaven Hill plans an annual release for the collection, and since it produces rye and wheat whiskeys as well as bourbon, Parker's collection will likely produce some surprises over the years. Last time around, I mentioned the Robert Burns Flask Auction coming up this week at Bonhams in Edinburgh. More auction news now. Christie's is planning its first rare spirits auction in New York this December. Until now, it's been illegal to auction whiskeys in the state of New York. But this past week, Governor Eliot Spitzer signed a new law legalizing spirits auctions. More winners to report now from the International Wine and Spirits Competition. In May, winners in the Scotch and Irish whiskey categories were announced. Now it's time for the worldwide whiskey winners, as well as the trophy winners. The only gold medal winning bourbon was the George T. Stagg 16-year-old from Buffalo Trace, which also produced the only gold medal winning rye, the Thomas H. Handy Sazerac 8-year-old. Suntory's Hakushu 18-year-old and Hibiki 17 and 30-year-olds won gold medals among Japanese whiskeys. Now let's talk about the trophy winners. The Brown-Forman Trophy for Worldwide Whiskey went to the Van Winkle 12-year-old Lot B bourbon from Old Rip Van Winkle. The William Grant Trophy for Blended Scotches went to the William Grant Rare and Extraordinary 25-year-old blend. The Balvenie Portwood won the IWSC Trophy for single malts 15 years old and younger. The White and Mackay Trophy for Cask Strength Scotch went to Duncan Taylor's Tomatin Cask Strength 41-year-old Rare Old. Finally, the 1990 Lagavulin Distillers Edition won two trophies, the Morrison Beaumont Trophy for single malts 15 years old and up, and the Abono Trophy for special edition single malts. There were a bunch of silver and bronze medal winners from around the world. You'll find a link to the competition's website at the WhiskeyCast website. I've talked in the past about independent bottlers and the occasional mystery name that they use when the original distillery won't allow them to label a bottling with the distillery's name. Now comes word through the Malt Maniacs that a Swedish bottler is coming out with a 40-year-old Space Cider. This one gets my award for creativity this week. It's being sold under the name Flanskargel. If you need help figuring it out, just rearrange the letters. Coming up on the calendar of events this week, the Malt Whiskey Convention is this coming weekend in Melbourne, Australia. The Brandy Library in New York has a spirit school on scotches on August 28th. Whiskey Galore in Christchurch, New Zealand has Glenfarclas tastings on August 31st and September 1st. Whiskey Herbst is the weekend of September 7th and 8th in Berlin. And the Kentucky Bourbon Festival is September 12th through the 16th in Bardstown. You'll find a complete list of worldwide whiskey events on the WhiskeyCast website. The address is www.whiskeycast.com. Glenmorangie is the top-selling scotch in Scotland, so you'd think the legendary 16 Men of Tain have something pretty good going for them. In fact, Glenmorangie's Dr. Bill Lumsden gets most of the credit for pioneering the development of cask-finished whiskies with the wood finish range. Now that range of whiskies is being replaced with three new finishes in what's being called the Extra Matured range. Rachel Berry is Glenmorangie's whiskey creator and blender.
We're very excited about the new development of the new whiskies, the Extra Matured range. We've developed these delicious whiskies really at the very highest level of quality and following the pioneering research with wood finishes in the 1990s. We've really taken this concept to the very highest level with the Extra Matured range. And what this involves is now the hand selection of the very highest caliber of wine season cask possible. So it's a more stringent quality specification than ever before for the three different types of wine season casks that we use for the extra maturation period. Extra maturation means that we're taking Glenmorangie, effectively the original Glenmorangie at 10 years old, and transferring it into casks for an extra period of maturation, into wine season casks for a minimum of 2 years. So we are now selecting the very richest ruby port pipes from Portugal for the Quinta Ruben, the most full-flavoured Spanish Oloroso sherry butts for the La Santa, and deliciously sweet Sauternes Barriques from Bordeaux for the Nectar d'Or. Also, we're now bottling at 46% alcohol and non-chill filtering. So what the drinker will get will be richer aromas, a more intense mouth-feeling taste, and deeper texture. So what we have are more distinctive, superior quality, and delicious whiskies. So we believe they're even better than before.
How do they differ from the previous wood-finished range? In terms of chill filtering, bottling strength, what's the basic difference other than the change in casks?
Other than the change in casks, the increase in alcohol strength to 46% alcohol and non-chill filtering has an added benefit. Through our research, we have discovered that this extra maturation period in wine season casks dramatically increases the textures, the colours, the intensity of aroma and taste. And so through non-chill filtering, we are making it a really more intense and deeper experience for the drinker. It's maintaining the perfection of what's been achieved through the extra maturation period.
Now, in reading the news release, let me just quote here. The Gaelic language of Scotland has inspired the choice of names for this new range. I have to be a little cynical. Tell me where Nectar d'Or is anything other than French.
The word or in Gaelic means gold. So, you know, if you hear Gaelic speakers here in Scotland, they will use the word or for gold. So that is related to the golden colour of the whiskey, and also the syrupy golden characteristics that come through from the Sauternes Barriques to bring this very luscious flavour. So it's very much intricately woven with the characteristics of the whiskey itself. You know, nectar is the drink of the gods, and you know, it is like the amber nectar. It has a very luscious mouthfeel, sumptuous, and you know, takes on this very beautiful golden hue.
Okay, I stand corrected. I would assume La Santa and Quinta Ruben also have Gaelic equivalents?
Absolutely. Again, if you were to hear a Gaelic speaker here in Scotland, you know, they would be using the word La Santa for warmth. And La Santa in Gaelic means warmth and passion. And again, it's rooted in the language of Scotland. And it also relates to the wonderful personality of the whiskey, very warming whiskey. You know, it's absolutely delicious. It's like the most delicious dessert menu possible. And so it reflects that. And similarly with Quinta Ruben. Ruben, again, is the Gaelic for ruby. And it's the origin of the second cask used for maturation, the ruby port pipes from Portugal. And also it's the Gaelic for as I say, for ruby, the color of the whiskey. So you get a beautiful, radiant ruby blush in the whiskey. And the Quinta is the vineyard from which the port is created.
Again, I stand corrected, not being a native Gaelic speaker. I wanted to clarify that because there are those who would see this as more of a European influence than a Scottish influence. And obviously with Glenmorangie now being owned by LVMH, why now? Why make all these changes to what has been obviously a very successful brand and a very successful line of whiskies?
The development and evolution of Glenmorangie has been taking place for decades. When I first started with the company, and even before that, when I was working at the Scotch Whisky Research Institute, I was carrying out research for Glenmorangie. Glenmorangie was pioneering and investing into research and development, into the development of the very finest American oak cask for maturation. We were the only company to adopt the most stringent quality specification from the Ozark Mountains of Missouri, air-seasoned casks for 24 months, slow-growth oak wood. And this all started, you know, over 15 years ago. And because of the time, the very slow maturation period, it's just now, in 2007, with Glenmorangie Original, that we are introducing a high proportion of these bespoke designer casks. So now we believe that Glenmorangie Original is now even better. So Glenmorangie fans will get even more of the delicious Glenmorangie taste they know and love. And through the beautiful bottles, the delicious whiskey is reflected. So now when people, you know, see the bottles for the first time, they will be enticed. You know, when they touch the bottles, they get a feel for the adventure that waits them inside the bottle.
And we should explain Glenmorangie Original is now the new name for the original, what's been known for many years as the Glenmorangie 10-year-old, correct?
That's correct. Glenmorangie Original, this was the 10-year-old was the original age at which Glenmorangie was first bottled as a single malt whiskey. And therefore now we recognize it as Glenmorangie Original, which is still a minimum of 10 years old.
Now this also comes with new bottlings, new brand identity, new packaging. It really almost looks like a relaunch of Glenmorangie. Is that fair to say?
It's fair to say that all these developments, the new stylish bottle shape, the new emblem and signet, the new whiskies have all come together at the same time beautifully to give the drinker something, you know, the new drinker something new and enticing, some new taste sensations to experience, and to delight existing Glenmorangie fans. They'll get even more of the delicious Glenmorangie taste that they know and love.
The Glenmorangie 18 and 25-year-old whiskies get new bottles, but no other changes for now. The new whiskies will be rolled out starting next month in Europe and the U.S., with the Pacific Rim by Christmas and Latin America in early 2008. And yes, there will be what Rachel describes as a modest price increase. You'll find a link to the Glenmorangie website at the WhiskeyCast website, but be forewarned, a new site is under construction as part of the rebranding effort. That's all for this episode of WhiskeyCast. My email address for questions and suggestions is comments@whiskeycast.com, and I'd love to hear from you. WhiskeyCast is a production of MG Media, copyright 2007, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.